The sermon today is works as a standalone sermon, so even if you haven't caught up with the last four sermons of the series, this will still make sense on its own. You'll still be able to track with me on this. But if this sermon series does spark your interest, you can go back and listen to all the earlier sermons on our YouTube channel. The Bible passage we're going to be looking at this morning is a beautiful and deeply poetic passage about Christ found in the book of Philippians and the New Testament of the Bible. Many biblical scholars believe that this passage may have actually been sung as we sung some beautiful songs about Jesus today. Many scholars believe this passage may actually have been sung as a Christian hymn by the early church. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I've requested Karen to read the passage for us.
So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Christ's word.
Amen, amen. Whenever we think of Christmas, we are reminded that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, humbled himself and took on flesh in order to save us. And this passage tells us that Jesus humbled himself as a man, he humbled himself as a servant, and he humbled himself even to death on a cross. And this passage goes on to say that because Jesus Christ humbled himself so completely, God exalted him so highly. Because Jesus went all the way down, God lifted him all the way up. And he was given the name that is above every name. We need to hear this gospel over and over and over again, because we are all living in a self-exalting culture. We live in a culture that constantly pushes us to promote ourselves, to showcase our skills, and to make a name for ourselves. But Jesus offers us something better. He shows us that something that is infinitely better than self-promotion. And that's really what we're going to be looking at this morning from this passage of Scripture. I'd like to draw three things for us from this passage. Why all of us only think of the way up, how Jesus shows us that the way up is the way down, and the joy of living in the Jesus curve. Three things. Why all of us only think of the way up, how Jesus shows us that the way up is the way down, and the joy of living in the Jesus curve. Let's start with the first. Why all of us only think of the way up. I don't know if you realize it, but I think we're living in a very unique moment in history. We're at a time where the differences between two successive generations feel sharper than ever before. Of course, there's always a gap between two generations. Each generation has its own experiences, its own values and struggles. But the gap that we are now seeing between millennials and Gen Z, two successive generations, feels unusually large. These two generations feel like chalk and cheese. They differ in almost everything. And I want to focus on one key difference between these two generations today. Millennials, those born between 1981 roughly and 1996, millennials tend to value security above everything else. Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, tend to value significance the highest. And there are reasons for this. Millennials came of age when stability collapsed in the entire world. And if you remember, the 2008 financial crisis showed us how fragile this world really is. In India, this was the first generation to actually see job losses, fairly large-scale job losses. And so for the millennial generations, a steady paycheck and a slow, reliable advancement, anything that felt safe, that was important. Actually, for millennials, security wasn't just important, it became salvation. But beneath the pursuit of security was a quite powerful conviction among millennials: my survival, my stability, my future should come first. Gen Z, on the other hand, grew up in a very different environment. By the time they entered the world, instability was no longer an exception. It was the norm. Uncertainty was the new normal. Nothing felt guaranteed. Nothing felt permanent. So their instinct was, if nothing is certain, then I must live fully right now. As a result, significance moved into the center. For Gen Z, work has to feel meaningful immediately. If not, it's not worth doing. Impact has to be immediately visible. Progress has to be fast. Purpose and significance are preconditions for engagement. And yet, beneath the pursuit of significance lies their conviction: my voice, my purpose, my influence, my contribution must be recognized. Millennials and Gen Z have sharply different dispositions, and yet when you look beneath the surface, you discover that they are exactly the same in one crucial way. Millennials pursue security as a form of self-preservation. Gen Z pursues significance as a form of self-actualization. Both generations worship the self. They just do it in different forms. And both religions, both generations functionally practice the religion of self-exaltation, the very antithesis of what this passage is calling us to consider this morning. And so the story of these two generations tells us something deep about human nature. It tells us that deep down we are a self-centered race. At some level, all of us believe that we must promote ourselves. We must exalt ourselves in order to succeed. At some deep level, each of us believe, I am more significant than others. This feels like the normal way to live in our culture. Even toddlers catch on to this really fast. And yet, we all also know that this way of life is exhausting. constantly trying to find significance, constantly trying to secure our place, constantly trying to stay ahead of the pack. This drains us emotionally. It leaves us restless, anxious, and tired. Listen, if self-significance is what you want the most, then deep down you already know that you will have no rest. There is no getting off this treadmill. We will have no lasting joy because the minute someone more significant comes along, or someone more successful or more admired or more influential comes along, our joy disappears. You might get a 30% pay hike and feel great about it till the moment you realize the guy or girl sitting next to you has got a 50% hike. And that moment, the joy is gone. Significance is relative. It is fleeting. And so this is why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, humbling himself for our sake is good news for a self-exalting culture. So when the Bible tells us, inviting us to see Christ and then looking at Christ, when the Bible calls us to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves, we all find it really hard to accept. And both millennials and Gen Z, despite all their differences, would totally agree on this and say that this teaching feels unrealistic. Is it going to really work in today's world? Won't people take advantage of me if I live and work like this? We find this teaching so hard to live and believe because we have all been conditioned to only think of the way up. Excuse me. The real problem is not that we are selfish people who simply need to try harder to be humble. And that's not the core issue. I think the core problem is that our hearts are desperately searching for significance to justify our existence. If we are not significant, we feel worthless. We chase significance not because we are ambitious, but because we are afraid. We are afraid of being worthless. And so we keep striving harder and harder and harder. And so if the natural human instinct, especially in a competitive city like Mumbai, if the natural human instinct is always the way up towards significance, towards self-preservation, then the passage we're looking at this morning, Philippians 2, confronts us with something that is utterly upside down. Jesus shows us that the way up is the way down. Jesus shows us the way up is the way down. And that's the second thing we're looking at. Jesus Christ humbling himself for our sake is therefore both good news and great hope in a self-exalting culture. There are many aspects of this glorious truth about the Son of God becoming fully human, but all of these center around the voluntary humility and the sacrifice of Christ. And this passage invites us to see every step of the downward descent of Christ for our sake. Let me read that portion of the passage again. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus did not just descend from divine to human. He also became a servant, washing the feet of his disciples and serving all of us. Jesus did not just descend from God to man to servant. He also descended to death, laying his life down to save us. Jesus did not just descend from God to man to servant to death. He also descended to a shameful death on the cross for our sake. Just before he was crucified, Jesus was spat on. He was slapped on his face. He was beaten, mocked, stripped naked, and hung on the cross. This was not just death. This was a shameful death. Jesus endured all of this for our sake, even though he was completely sinless and absolutely righteous in every way. And here is the beauty of it all. Jesus emptied himself so that we might be lifted up. Jesus willingly died so we may have eternal life through his death and through his resurrection. You know, it's one thing for divinity, to give up divinity and take on humanity. But it's infinitely harder to retain divinity and also take on humanity and servanthood. That's what Jesus did in his incarnation. Yes, Jesus lived as a man. Yes, Jesus served as a servant. Yes, Jesus was crucified to death as a man. But in and through all this, Jesus also always remained fully God. So when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, it was not just Jesus the man doing it, but it was Christ, fully God, fully man, washing the feet of his disciples. Christ was just not just a man dying for our sins. Christ was both God and man dying on the cross for our sins. You know, no matter how much we think about this, I don't think it's ever possible to fully grasp how much Jesus humbled himself to save us. This was our salvation by his humility. I don't think the human mind can ever comprehend. Well, I'm going to turn to Indian culture for an illustration to help us to get just a little bit of a sense of how much Christ, the Son of God, humbled himself to save us. I'm sure all of us know this. Indian culture is just so rich, it's so diverse that it's always helpful. So I'm going to turn to Indian culture to kind of illustrate what Jesus did for us. In the Mahabharata, I'm sure all of us know the story, the Pandavas were sent to exile. And for the final year of the exile, they had to live in hiding. And if they were discovered, then they have to go through another many years of exile all over again. So that year, their lives and their future kingdom was at stake. And during this year, Arjun, who was one of the greatest warriors of his age, he was cursed to live in disguise. And so Arjun became Brihanala, a woman. He dressed as a woman, he lived as a woman, he taught music and dance as a woman in the women's quarters at King Virata's palace. Imagine how much Arjun would have suffered in this season. I mean no disrespect to women, but it is shameful and hurtful for a man and a warrior to pretend to be a woman for a year. You see, beneath the woman's disguise, beneath Brihanala's disguise, Arjun was still Arjun. He was still the greatest warrior on the face of the earth. His strength was not gone. It was hidden. And so Arjun, while remaining a man and a warrior, took on a woman's disguise. And similarly, in his human incarnation, Jesus Christ remained fully God, but he also humbled himself to take the form of a human servant. And you see, Jesus did not merely disguise himself as a human. He did not just temporarily wear the garments of a human. No, he fully, wholly took on human nature. Divinity in Christ was joined itself with human nature. Jesus remained fully God, infinitely powerful, and yet he took on the whole nature of a human, utterly frail. This wasn't a mere disguise. This was full-blown incarnation, divinity robing himself in humanity. I'm sure Arjun would have found it extremely hard to be a man and yet pretend to be a woman. Now imagine how much harder it would have been for Christ to remain fully God and to yet also take on human nature, take on the full human nature of a frail man, fully God, and yet also fully man. You see, Arjun endured this disguise as a woman for his own self-preservation. He had to hide himself. He could not be caught. He could not be spotted. If he's spotted, it's exile again. That's what Arjun did. But Jesus, he stepped down into the shame and suffering of humbling himself, as this passage tells us, from God to man to servant to death, and that to the shameful death on a cross in order to save us. He humbled himself for our sake. And this is why Jesus is loved and adored and worshipped and celebrated all over the world by people from all cultures and all ethnicities and all races. This is why Christmas is so special. Because Jesus went all the way down, God lifted him all the way up. And in our culture of self-exaltation, Jesus shows us that the way up is the way down. In our culture of self-exaltation, the Son of Man humbled himself so that we could be lifted up. Jesus, and only Jesus, can help us move away from self-exaltation and to live like him. And so let me close with the last insight from this passage. The joy of living this Jesus curve. Now, I think this is where we can all so easily misunderstand the message of Christmas. I'm willing to bet that most of us at this point of time, you're telling yourself, Jesus was humble, and so I need to become more humble in my life. You're welcome to try that. Go try that out. I can assure you it's not going to work. It will not weather the storms that we all face in our workplaces Monday through Tuesday. I can assure you that none of us can become humble this way. Try harder, be more humble like Jesus. This will never work. This is not the message of Christmas. So what is the real message of Christmas? Here it is. Jesus came down for us. He humbled himself in order to lift us up. He died so that we might have eternal life. On the cross, Jesus took on unimaginable shame so that we might have infinite significance in God's eyes. And now listen. Nothing can give us more significance. Nothing can give us greater significance than knowing that the Son of God laid his life down to save you and to save me. You are so loved. You are so precious. You are so significant that God sent his Son to lay his life down for you. This is the greatest significance we can ever experience in all of human, all of eternity. The highest of human honor can never match even a tiny slice of the significance that we have in that Christ laid his life down for us. This is the message of Christmas. And now, because Christ has already given you his glorious and eternal significance in full, you and I, we no longer have to fear losing anything because we are humble in this world. We don't have to fear humility because of the significance God has given to us in Jesus. Because of God's incredible love for you in Christ, you lose nothing. I lose nothing. We lose nothing by being humble. Because of Jesus, serving others is no longer risky. In Christ, we are already infinitely loved, eternally secure, and forever significant. This frees us to be humble. This is the logic of the gospel. This is the logic and the message of Christmas. Listen, if Jesus had merely shown us how to humble ourselves, then Christianity would just be another moral system, another heavy burden that we could never bear on our already tired shoulders. But Jesus did not merely show us the way down. Instead, he himself went down in our place. Jesus took upon himself everything that we fear. He endured loss of status. He suffered loss of recognition. He lost all security. On the cross, Jesus took on unimaginable shame so we can have infinite significance. And so now, because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, our worth is no longer something we have to achieve. Our significance is no longer something we have to earn. Our future is not something we have to secure. Because Christ has given us the greatest significance ever, we don't have to fight to be in the spotlight anymore. We don't have to be in the center anymore. We don't have to win every comparison with others anymore. Now, finally, we are free to be humble. And now, finally, because of Jesus, we are freed from the heavy burden of having to earn our own significance. Now, finally, because of Jesus, we are free to serve one another in joyful humility. Nothing can give us more joy than living on this upside down Jesus curve. The way up is the way down. That is the gospel that Jesus came to show us by humbling himself even to death on a cross. Let me close with this. I would imagine that many of us, at the end of a long, hard year, every year is long and hard in Mumbai. At the end of a long and hard year, I would imagine that many of us are weary and exhausted. I would imagine we are weary from striving. We're tired from performing. We're all weary from the pursuit of fleeting significance. And Christmas, the birth of Jesus, announces this good news to all of us. You don't have to climb up anymore. You don't have to climb up anymore because Jesus has already climbed down for us. If you're already a follower of Jesus, Shall we move to worship Him? Shall we pray? Father, we come before You in worship, thanking You for the way of Christ. We remember how much He endured, humbling Himself, Lord, for our sake. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done for us. Draw our hearts to worship Jesus more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.